Although Irish has been used as a literary language for more than 1500 years, and modern literature in Irish dates mainly to the 16th century, like a lot of European languages, modern Irish literature owes a lot to of its popularity to the 19th century Gaelic revival cultural movement. And writers in Ireland have since produced some of the most interesting literature to come out of Ireland, supplemented by work produced in the language abroad. I'm joined now by one such writer, expat poet Julie Brannock Banwaite, now an Australian citizen. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Tell me, where in Ireland are you from?
I'm from West Galway, so the Gaeltacht area in Galway, an Irish-speaking area about 30 to 35 kilometres west of Galway City, from an area of real beauty. It's part of the national park. It's little islands that are connected by little stone bridges. So that's the area I was up in.
And when and why did you come to Australia?
I've been here about 12 years now. Why is a much bigger question. I think people emigrate for lots of reasons, really. A change of scenery, change of life. My husband went to school here in Australia, so he always kind of thought about coming back. It was something we had on our mind, and we thought we'd just bite the bullet and give it a go. We had no intentions of staying long term, but I think a lot of people go places and don't intend to stay long term and end up staying longer. So I think that was the case with us. We kind of settled, so that's why we're still here.
And how is COVID treating yourself and, say, the Irish community in Western Australia?
Well, Western Australia has actually been very lucky because we've been quite sheltered. I think our borders closed very quickly. Our numbers have never really been very high, and it's been very well contained. So it's kind of been business as usual here for a long time. So schools opened up very quickly into Term 3, and we kind of got on with things. So, I could say it hardly touched us, really. So we've been very, very lucky.
Did you write poetry while you lived in Ireland?
I did. I've always written poetry. I've always enjoyed the writing process. And to be honest, I wrote a lot of poetry in my early 20s, but then life kicks in sometimes and you don't have an awful lot of time to reflect on things. Because we're on this kind of treadmill. And I think I kind of put it to one side for a long time and left it sitting. And recently, again, when I'm kind of starting to wind down again, I just thought, well, that's something I really used to enjoy doing. So I thought I'd start again. So I did. I kind of dusted off the old ones that I had, and I started adding to them and creating new ones and writing about different themes and that. So it's something that I've always done, but there's been a big gap, and I just picked it up again. So.
Your book of poems, pocket poems, Daunt of Poker. Tell us a little about that.
This is a collection I put together that's mostly to do with, I would say mostly to do with mental health themes. I work in mental health, so this is kind of my area. And the poems are, they're, because I suppose they're written in Irish, they connect me a lot with a part of myself that I'd kind of let fall a little bit, I suppose, not intentionally, but again, life gets in the way. So I started writing about things, how I felt, I suppose, when I lost my mom. I started writing about the area I grew up in, which is stunningly beautiful and really was worth writing about. It's an inspiring landscape. I started talking about things like displacement and how it feels when you're an immigrant and what it feels like to settle down somewhere new and not feel completely connected to it. I talk about things like homesickness and what that feels like, and just the things that we go through in life, I suppose, that we feel when we're moving from place to place. So that's a lot of the stuff that I write about.
This might talk about two of your poems. One, Coat of Gorm, the Blue Coat. That's a 2018 an award-winning poem. Tell us a little about that.
The Blue Coat of Coat of Gorm is a little poem I wrote about. It's about when you kind of, it's about loss, I suppose. So when you lose someone or something that you love, and how it feels like when there is something that, I suppose, that you see or hear or feel somewhere and it kind of brings them back with you for a split second. And so this poem, quote, "The Garment Spotted," is a quote I saw that reminded me of my mom. So I sort of examined the quote really carefully, and I thought about all the various sort of ways she would have looked at it. And it just, that's what it was about. And then I realized at the end that, well, she wasn't here to think about buying this coat for her. So that's what it's about, really. It's about being present with someone that you love that you've lost.
Could I ask you to recite part or all of it?
Yes, it's a very short poem. So maybe I'll do the Irish version first. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
So, Cóta Gorm. Glacan mahuas shi, Cóta da Gorm. Knacki mine shi dulo, Agaf kumportach, Ar de vera laga. Sná ro vahana, Glamana lehan, Farsan vaudisha. Rol degaf ar daan, Ach da guivni, Or to score blean imihe. So that's the Irish language version. And it roughly translates to, and can I just say that poetry does not translate very well. It loses a lot, and the Irish language is very beautiful, as I'm sure you are aware, and very full of emotion. So it may sound a bit colder in the English language, but here goes. Blue coat. My eye rests on a little blue coat, smooth silky buttons that would be comfortable for your weak fingers. Its thread too bright. Generous wide stitches breaking it up, but too gaudy for your sight. But I recall that you are 20 years gone.
Another poem you have is called, I think I pronounce it, Antonikin, which I think translates
Antonikin,
as...
yes.
That's disaster, is it?
It was, it's kind of, you know the way we say at home, God between us and all harm? I don't know if you know that expression, Brian?
Yes.
People use it a lot at home, yeah. Well, that comes from the direct translation of Dia Idrishin Agus Antonikin. So the Antonikin can be anything that's harmful. So it can be like a person or a thing or anything that's causing distress. So this is about, this poem Antonikin is about harm entering your life somehow, and or harm entering somebody else's life, and you're sort of the observer that can't really do anything about it. So, that's what this poem is about. So being the observer of someone being harmed that you love. Antonikin. Nurevi unseal cumi, a poshti token, is he slung through akli is shetra. Railin a sila reins erin. Hug Antonikin quarter staff as marshi share free. Is hogshe nyad kung kipini krua in the plosa. Is he go brutu bazin ar cholashu, non ar rakashi shli a sawbala. Heen was in a tro ar good law of a prahifu. Glory was in kosanama, ach nu edil in a fosa ar rahindlish in bakala vi togi agile, spali babagira, is karanile, a dogi barad in the umes a fer mas prahif on a cree. Dos shame shin am nivik skara is ik slither nachtrin a park, bazin ar kidshi a pit breeder. Not with sweet fame, her caption our view, fuckle of furlough. Rip and tantris, southern on our mask, as such she be as devil. Hori she labba on rigo, ritzy she faced the all yellower, or mullet upper, or be bon stupa, eg fader er an schlitz as an schlaf. On low tarsi yder, fully and calm free. Who and Talifin and Bilfin as a purpose, Laudry of Fallen Grain, or Rates of Haint and Garibalta, all are true that all law is Lilfila.
Asperla?
Quite a long one. Asperla, okay, the harm. When her life had quietened, her children reared, with her healthy, fit, and vigorous, ready to share her life with us, harm made a visit inside and danced in her heart. But a tight nest of hard sticks in her ears and sat brutally until she could not see nor hear the root of her salvation. He stretched out her trembling hands towards her, directed the path out, but he couldn't reach her ears with a packing that was built with sharp little gallops and manure that left her deaf to fruit, and put a stone mask in her heart. It grew there, the poison, spreading and sliding through her body until she did not believe her own words or thoughts, and thought they were not worth expressing. The Antichrist trotted amongst us, and she offered him food and drink, dressed the king's bed for him, prepared a feast to celebrate him, with our bellies hungry and our throats parching, watching the destruction and the slaying. That damp day in winter, the battle thinned the heart. The harm sucked the life from her body and strengthened its own, preparing itself for the next bout, seeking those who are soft and vulnerable.
Nice. How can people get a copy of your poems?
Well, the book is available from books.ie. It's available from Uncarry Pulley, which is an Irish language bookshop in Belfast. It's available from Anshuka Lauer in Dublin, the Cumann na Gaeilge bookstore. And it's available directly from Pushkin, who are the publishers.
Julie, thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Brian.